world is our mirror and reveals our own reflection. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with a thought for today. The world is our mirror and reveals our own reflection. Many people come to the University of Healing and to the campus to be healed of illnesses mentally, physically, and spiritually. And as they come to the campus, the first thing they do is to pick the program apart. The first thing they do is to say, why do we do this? Why do we do that? Why must this be done? Why must that be done? And as these things are brought to their attention, they right away consider that they don't want to participate in the program. Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to do that? Now, if a patient went to a medical doctor and said to the medical doctor, why do I have to take this pill? He'd say, because it's good for you. Why must I take this pill? Because it'll heal you. Why must I take this pill? Why not some other pill that's not so drastic? Because this pill is designed to do exactly what we want to do for you. So when people come to campus, their first thought is, why does Herb have a different cup than we do? Why do I have to drink out of this cup rather than that cup? Or why must I be on time at the programs? Why must I do anything? And this is not a question just by one person. This is a question by everybody. Because most people are used to being their own master, living their own life, making their own choices, and doing their own things, which is perfect. Which is perfect. However, the purpose in coming to the University of Healing, to the Absolute Monastery, is to learn to be self-disciplined. And you cannot be self-disciplined until you first discipline yourself. And you discipline yourself to follow a program. Now, if you go to work at a job and the employer tells you this is what you do, you either do it or you don't have the job. If the employer says, now when you work on this job, you have to wear hard-toed shoes so that if you drop something on your toe, you're not going to sue the company for malfeasance of some sort. You follow the rules, and if you don't want to follow the rules, you're off. There's no discussion of how good you are or how not good you are. You're off, because the boss doesn't want to take a chance with you hurting yourself and then suing him for something that he tried to protect you from hurting yourself and doing. But people oftentimes like to know better. There are people who run in front of cars and are bumped down so that they can sue the owner of the car. Now, if that is our modus operandi in life, then we best change it if we want to be master ourselves. Because you can have all the money in the world without being injured. You can have all the good in the world without hurting yourself or by causing someone else a distress. Now, if you are here for a healing, if you are here for healing, if you are here for healing, if you are here for healing, Herb, why are you saying it so many times? If you are here in this life for a healing, then these are the things that are important to know to accomplish the healing. You're here for healing. You're born crippled. You're born diseased. You're born with a problem. Or you get it as you go along. Now, you would like to be free of that problem. You would like to be healed of that problem, whether it's cancer, diabetes, whether it's short leg or long leg or legs with difficulties. You want to be healed of whatever that problem may be. Well, we teach you the first step toward being healed is not to recognize the problem. Well, but how do you not recognize the problem when you got cancer, when you got diabetes, or when you got legs that have got problems? How do you not recognize the problem? It's staring you right in the face. Well, life is staring you right in the face too, and you don't even recognize it. I will say to you that your reality is perfection. Your reality is wholeness. Your reality is your ideal spirit, mind, and body. That's your reality. But you have chosen to look at a different reality. We all do in many areas of our life. We look at different realities of whether we have money or whether we have friends or whether we have a body that's whole and perfect. Whatever we do, we look at these different realities and then we say that that's who we are. Well, if that's who you want to be, then go right ahead and look at it. Now, If you are going to go to the doctor, the first thing the medical doctor does, he says, aha, you have some illness here. You have something that has to be removed. And so he says, well, what do you know? We have a tumor here. And it's not malignant, but we want to take it out so that you're not bothered by it. It's not going to cause your death, but it is going to cause you unhappiness as you go along through life. So we will just cut it out. Now, that's not a terrible thing, is it? They just cut it out, they freeze it, or they do many of the new techniques of surgery, and they take it out. Okay? Now, if you fight it, then you're going to empower it to have a power it doesn't have. The doctor cuts it out. He cuts it out with his scalpel. He cuts it out with all of the things that he needs to cut it out with. Now, it sounds terrible, but it sounds good because it's gone. Okay, and heals up. Leave a little scar there maybe, but then it's gone. Now, what do we do in spiritual healing? In spiritual healing, we start to love our body. Let's just take a tumor, a non-malignant tumor. And it's forming a big ball on your wrist where you have injured yourself at some time. You bumped yourself very hard and your body rejected it and said, hey, you hurt me! And so it builds a big tumor around that bump. I didn't need to do that, but it did it because you felt a great, oh, it hurts. And then you empower it to be. And so as you look at the hurt, you say, oh, and the hurt grows, and every week it grows, oh, as you give it attention. Now, do you have the ability to be a lover? Do you have the ability to love your body? Well, if you do, then you take that area where the hurt is, and you say, hey, I'm sorry, you're whole and perfect. I didn't mean to bump you. It's okay. Now, you're okay. Now, start being whole and perfect. Start showing your wholeness and perfect. I love you. And kiss it and love it. And really love it. Love it every day. All day long. All day long. No matter what you're doing, whenever your thought goes to your wrist, hey, you're whole and perfect. You're wonderful. Ooh, what a wonderful wrist. And kiss it and love it. Hug it. Let it know that you really care about it. If you do that stupidly, you know, just do it. Just do it because I tell you to do it. Inside of a very short time, it'll be gone. Inside of a very short time, you'll forget that you ever had the bump. Inside of a very short time, you will not even have the tumor which would have resulted from it if you hadn't loved it. Now, is that true? Yes, that's true. Then why can't I do that for something that's worse, like cancer or diabetes or a leg or whatever? Why can't I do it? You can. But are you willing to play the game? Are you willing to go around kissing this cancer on your body? Are you willing to go around kissing the diabetes on your body? Well, how do you kiss diabetes on your body? Where the heck is diabetes in the first place? Well, you know where it is. You know right where diabetes is. It's a particular gland that's not functioning properly, so you have diabetes. Now, you're not going to get in there and kiss that gland, which is a nice thing to do too. But what is the reason the gland is not functioning right? What is the reason the gland is not functioning right? It's because you have a lot of negative ideas in your mind and about yourself and about your life. And so why doesn't every person on the face of the earth have diabetes or cancer or all these things? They don't, you know. Only a few. And these are the few who allow themselves to live in conditions of negativity. Now, I have a number of people in my personal life who have experienced diabetes. And these people are good people, they're nice people, but each one of these people has a great hate within them, a great hate. They hate something more than they hate life itself. Now, my sister was one of them, and she hated a member of the family. And she couldn't stand this member of the family. She couldn't let go of the hate. And because she couldn't let go of the hate, it destroyed her. It destroyed her completely. Now, you say, well, the diabetes started before the condition of the hate started. No, it didn't. You see, we have hate in our hearts from the very beginning of life. And we encourage it to grow. And how does hate start? Hate starts in judging others, in judging other people and whether they're doing something right or wrong, in telling the world that some people are good and some people are not. And you see, we want to get rid of that. Now, how do we get rid of the hate? You don't. What you do is you start loving. You start loving everything that causes you to be uptight. You start loving everything that causes you to have concern in any way. You just become a love bug. You go around loving yourself and loving everybody in your world as the creator of your world, because the world is now a picture of yourself. The world is our mirror and reveals our own reflection. So now, what are you going to do about it? Okay. We never put ourselves in any condition for which we are not ready to handle that condition. And all of us are in the condition that we are in life to be ready to handle it. Now, Ingeborg is adding years to her chronological life. And Ingeborg thinks, hey, I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying doing these things. I'm enjoying playing here at the monastery. I am enjoying doing the work and doing the studying here at the monastery. I enjoy it. She says, I want to be around. So Ingeborg starts telling herself, I'm 25 years old. And then she starts acting like that. And you say, well, she's still sort of bent over. She still is, hey, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? She sees herself standing up straight. Every time I see Ingeborg, I say, Ingeborg, shoulders back. You know, how many kids you got to say shoulders back to, you know? And how many adults you have to say shoulders back to? They go around with their head in the mud. You know, they're looking at the problem at the floor all the time. And that's great. Now, do you know where the path of life is? You do. Do you know where the sidewalk is? Do you know where the stairs are? You do. Then lift up your head from there and begin looking at the scenery. How many times do you, well, here's a good illustration. How many times do you drive in a car with another person and you pay attention to their driving? You don't look at the scenery. You pay attention to their driving, and you're not driving. I mean, if you're going to drive, then you should certainly pay attention to your driving. But if you're not driving, pay attention to the wonderful scenery that's going around about you. And this is what we want to train ourselves to do. We want to train ourselves to see the happiness, see the joy, see the goodness, see all the things that are important to us. And if we feel sorry for ourselves, if we feel that the world is giving us a bum rap, if we feel that we want to be our own boss at all times, in the process, we will walk ourselves right out of the good circumstances we put ourselves in. Now, there are many people who go to the hospital and they sign themselves out because they're not willing to do what the doctors tell them to do. And the doctors say, okay, go. And then shortly thereafter that, they're dead. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful because it takes a lot of wasted energy away from the doctors and puts it into the people who really want it. You see, the world is our reflection. And whatever we see in the world, whatever we see and going on in life around us, that's who we are. Now, I'm telling you these experiences, these tales, these things from my own lifetime, my own experience. I have worked with hundreds and hundreds of people on their healing needs, on their healing programs, and it works. It's a program that actually functions. And whenever I tell somebody that this is your problem, oh, no, not me, not me. Oh, I'm a happy person. I'm a loving person. I'm a good person. I had a letter from a lady just recently who says, why am I having this recurrence of this disease? And she's having the recurrence of the disease because she went back to the same attitude she had before. She felt she had to get out and be busy in the world. She had to save the world. She had to protect the world. She had to protect herself from all sorts of things. Oh, she used to have in her house everything that would come down the pike she'd buy, and you stick this in the electrical sockets in the house so that the electrical sockets wouldn't give off negative energy, you know, and hey, somebody made a good deal there. They sold these gadgets that really didn't do anything. Now, if the socket can help keep negative energy from coming out of electrical currents, what could work even better? Our thought. Think of the billions of people on the face of the earth who are not bothered by the negative electrical energy that comes out. Think of the billions of people on earth who are not affected by all of the little gadgets that people are figuring out how to make money on. And so they try to sell you on this. They try to sell you on all sorts of things because it helps them to make money. And that's good. That's good. We buy it and we love it and we use it. So what is it that you want for yourself? What is it for you want? Now, think about it. Think about what you want for yourself. Do you want to have a body that's whole and perfect? If you do, then start recognizing it. Start saying 100 million times a day, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal. You will have no time for any thought that is contrary to that. You'll have no time for any thought that says you're not living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. No time for it. And this is what we want. So many people come here to the campus and they want to experience healing. And I say, let go of the negative thought. But I got to tell you about my mother. I got to tell you about my family. I got to tell you. I don't want to hear it. I only want to know what is it you want to experience here. Why do you go to the doctor so that the doctor can sit and listen to your misery? Or do you go to the doctor so the doctor can give you a pill and be done with it? You know? Why do you come to a healing institution? You come to a healing institution so that you can enter into your wholeness. You recognize that you're not in it. That's why you came. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come. Now, why do some people come here? Some people come here because they want to pretend that they don't need it. Now, we've had a lot of people do that. A lot of people. We go through dozens every week. And maybe they're not all here on campus, but they're wishing that they were. And I say, hey, you don't want to be here. Because I'm not a very nice guy. I stick it right to you. I say, hey, clean up your stinking thinking. And start realizing that what is in the past has to go. Has to go. And then I will start talking about the past and encourage you to start thinking about the past. And I say, hey, we don't talk about the past. Well, you're just talking, that's right. I'm like the world. I'm encouraging you to do those things. And out in the world, there's nobody who's going to say, hey, don't talk about the past. The world's going to say, very interesting. What else did you do? Where else did you make a mistake? Where else were you an improper person, you know? And so who needs to know that? Certainly not us. We don't need to remind ourselves. We let it go. As long as we hang on to it, we're going to live it. We live every moment we think. And if we think about the past, we're living the past. If we're thinking about today, where we are living in our ideal spirit, mind, and body, then we are living in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, this lady who wrote in, I wrote her. You're living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now get with it. The other letters that I don't always show you are about the same type of thing. They're living in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. My email is just filled with people who are living in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. And they don't write back, many of them, because that's not the answer they wanted. They wanted the answer that I would send them a prayer towel, and that prayer towel was blessed, and they laid the prayer towel on their problem, and then they're healed. Hey, you know, there's a lot of ministers on television who promote that sort of thing, and people send them money for the prayer towel, you know? And it's their thought. Now, some people are healed because they believe it, you know? And most of them are not because they don't. And these Catherine Kuhlman affairs where they get up for the spiritual healing or many other ministers who have healing adventures for people, they get up there and, in the name of Jesus, you're healed! And then the person falls backwards into the arms of the waiting people, and then they drop their crutches, they leave off their problem things, and then they go back to their seat and they say, I'm healed! And then they go home, and then they have to buy a new set of crutches and so forth, because it was only there in the charisma of the healer that they were healed. And they didn't take that charisma home. They didn't take home the fact that this is their original purity and integrity. I've seen it happen. I went to Catherine Kuhlman's meetings many times because I was editor of the Science of Mind magazine, and as editor, I had to go and cover these things on behalf of the magazine, of things that are going on in our world today. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating. People went there, had great experiences, then they went home, and they lost it. Not all of them, most of them, because they didn't keep true to what she told them. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. Now let it all go. The past is gone. So where are you? Where are you on this game of life? Where are you in this adventure? Now, people say, well, Herb, doesn't it get frustrating for you to have people come to the campus and write to you and ask for healing treatment, and then you give them healing treatment and they do not experience it? I only see them from the first moment to the last moment that I ever know anything about them as being whole and perfect. I only see them whole and perfect. There was nothing for me to do except to see them whole and perfect. Now, what does a practitioner do? A practitioner first heals their own consciousness of any need for a healing, seeing the person already whole and perfect, and then telling the person it is done and letting them go. You see, that's what a practitioner is. That's what we are. That's what life is. We see it done. If I saw the tragedies that I wrote about in my newspapers, and I saw them as being terrible, then what would happen? It would have been terrible for me. But I didn't see them. I just spoke particular words about what it was, and then I told about the little miracles that I saw. I saw a car crash and everybody killed, and the little baby was lying by the side of the road. And we picked up the little baby, and he was fit as a fiddle, just fine. Took him to the hospital, he's just fine. He's living a fantastic life. That was back in the 60s, living a fantastic life. You see, now, they're dead, period. Big deal, you know, but the baby's alive. This man, 78 years old, or more, something about that, he drove and bumped into a telephone pole. Telephone pole went right through his gut. I didn't make a big deal about it. The fireman came and sawed it off, went to the hospital, took it out. It had not severed one thing that it should not have severed. And he went on to live for another 10 years. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, I got it, you know. He didn't say that. Just get this thing out of me, you know. One of our girls in Science of Mind, she was out with her boyfriend one evening, and he took her up for a flight. And after the flight, she got out of the plane and walked to the front of the plane, which she shouldn't have done, and pluck, there went her arm. Chucked it right off. And so he stopped the engine. He picked up her arm. She said, I want my arm. And she's still walking around. And so put a tourniquet on her arm, drove her to the hospital, and the hospital sewed the arm back on, and today it's just as though it were never off. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. But you see, when you put the thought in motion, all is in divine order. Then all is in divine order. And this is what we are speaking our word for. This is what we are speaking. I am reiterating these things merely to show you that the principle works. The principle works. Let go. She did not ever think of herself without her arm. She always thought of herself with her perfect arm right there. Scared the liver out of her boyfriend, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Okay, what do we say? We say here, the world is our mirror and reveals our own reflection. Now, what is your reflection? And what is your mirror? And what is your world? Decide. Once you decide, you can have it. You've been having what you've decided up to now. So, you have to decide newly and wonderfully. So have a wonderful day and a wonderful life and a wonderful time, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.